The report said he'll arrive in the Steel City tonight, visit with the team tomorrow, with the possible deal getting done over the weekend. The Indianapolis Colts are releasing veteran defensive back Kenny Moore, while Netflix will air the Week 1 matchup between the Rams and 49ers in Australia. According to The Athletic, Netflix and YouTube are expected to air Monday night doubleheader games sent back to the NFL by ESPN, according to a report from CNBC. Game 2 tonight, Cavaliers and Pistons, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Kevin Huerter doubtful for Detroit, while Luka Doncic remains out for the Lakers as they face the Thunder at 9:30 Eastern. No Jalen Williams for Oklahoma City. Knicks forward OG Anunoby is considered day-to-day with a strained hamstring. He's questionable to play in Friday's Game 3 in Philadelphia. Charlotte Hornets have given head coach Charles Lee a contract extension.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the USDA is restructuring its Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services mission, announcing plans to create a new Food and Nutrition Administration aimed at improving efficiency and service nationwide. The reorganization will shift leadership and staff from Washington, D.C. to regional hubs across the country, aligning programs more closely with state partners and communities they serve. Officials say the move will not disrupt nutrition assistance programs, but will streamline operations and strengthen oversight. And U.S. beef recently regained duty-free access to the United Kingdom under a 13,000 metric ton quota included in a deal reached by the Trump administration last year. The quota provides the first zero-duty access to the U.K. since its exit from the European Union in 2020. The first beef shipments under the duty-free quota arrived in March and was celebrated by a pair of events hosted by the U.S. Meat Export Federation in London. Well, the U.S. export demand for key crops showed mixed signals in the latest weekly report from the USDA, with shipments of corn, soybeans, and wheat all dropping more than 20% week over week, even as some sales improved. Exports told a different story, with corn shipments down 18%, soybeans falling 21%, and wheat declining 22% week over week. Still, demand from key buyers like Mexico, China, and Indonesia remained steady.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association is proud to sponsor the Growing Pulse Crops podcast, your go-to resource for practical pulse production insights. Each episode features farmers, researchers, or industry experts sharing real-world tips to help you boost yields, manage pests and disease, and get the most from your pulse crops. Whether you grow peas, lentils, or chickpeas, you'll find information you can put to work on your farm right away. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, or visit growingpulsecrops.com.
California farmers know there's no margin for error when it comes to irrigation. Rising electric costs, an uncertain grid, and aging diesel engines put your yield at risk. Propane-powered irrigation engines deliver high performance with fewer emissions than diesel and reliability the electric grid can't match. Upgrade to propane and earn up to $10,000 by submitting performance data through the Propane Farm Research Program. Learn more at propane.com/farmfunding.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are pulling back from yesterday's record rally, and oil prices are swinging as investors await signs that the Middle East war is winding down. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Trump administration is now looking to restart Project Freedom, its operation to guide commercial ships through the Strait of Hormuz, as early as this week. Investors are also cautious ahead of the jobs report for April, which will be released tomorrow morning. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors are lower, with tech the only gainer, and chip stocks are leading today's declines as the AI rally pauses. And shares of Planet Fitness are tanking over 30%, the most on record, after the budget-friendly gym operator cut its growth projections for the year and canceled price hike plans as signups dried up in the critical New Year period. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
When disasters hit and cell networks fail, Rapid Radios keeps you connected. Instant push-to-talk with coast-to-coast range. No contracts, no monthly bills. Trusted by law enforcement, government agencies, and over 500,000 users. Always ready when your phone isn't. Because in an emergency, seconds matter, and reliability isn't optional. Go to rapidradios.com. Use code RADIO for 5% off and free shipping from Michigan. Rapid Radios. Communication redefined.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
When it comes to government, is bigger necessarily better? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
One of the most frustrating feelings for the average man is that of helplessness as he attempts to deal with government that seems ever to grow bigger and more centralized. He watches in near helplessness as Big Brother determines more and more what's best for him and at the same time grows more distant. The average citizen throws up his hands in dismay whenever he contemplates the possibility of having to deal with the federal government, the state government, or even the governments of most large cities. The saying that you can't fight City Hall is usually an understatement. Most of the time, you can't even find who it is in City Hall you want to fight. Bigness in itself is no sin, but nevertheless, in this country, we've always tried to see that nothing got so big it became unmanageable. For that reason, we have antitrust laws aimed at keeping bigness in business and industry from becoming all-encompassing. Unfortunately, on another front, organized labor, we've done nothing to stop unions from getting so big and so powerful they become the masters rather than the servants of their members and often pose a threat to the stability of our entire economy. And on still another front, government. We've voted into office year after year legislators and executives who push for bigger, more powerful government and more centralized authority, all in the name of doing what is best for the people. So, while we don't like it, we must admit that much of the fault is our own. We've complained about big government, but then we voted for it. One reason probably is that many voters have fallen for the old line that small government is ineffective, is unable to deal with our problems, is inefficient, and is expensive. We've been told that only big government, with its accompanying high salaries, attracts competent managers and honest legislators. Well, don't you believe it. One of the things we did in California in 1973 was to put to work a task force to study the possibility of local government reform, to see if, in fact, we could get better and more responsive government by consolidating some of our very small units of government. We had seen a 1966 study by the Committee for Economic Development, which in brief advocated fewer and larger governments, reduction of duplication and overlap, and provision of one visible center of authority. And on the surface, that looked pretty good. If by consolidating governments you can make a government more effective and more responsive to the citizens' needs, then that's the way to go. But our task force refused to take that 1966 study as gospel. Instead, it began its study from scratch. And after nearly a year's work, this is what it found. And I quote, "A system of highly flexible and independent local government units is as capable or more capable of providing the quality of service that people expect than is a centralized and consolidated government system," unquote. It goes on to say that consolidation of local governments would actually produce a system less likely to provide public services of a quality and at a cost that suit the diverse preferences of the average citizen. In other words, bigger, when it comes to government, isn't necessarily better or cheaper. The next time someone tells you that consolidated government or regional government is the only way to go, just remember that song from Porgy and Bess. It ain't necessarily so. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I am your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigator reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And there are some interesting things going on right now that you do need to check out. This thing with Kristen Smart, I had known that they were likely going to be digging there, and I will tell you why. There has been, you know, obviously, Paul Flores is in prison. They know who did it. But there has been a lot of issues with where is the body? How do we get the body home to the parents? There were a lot of people that thought the body was buried at Susan Flores' home. A lot of people. There was a dig there in around 2020, I think. They didn't. They only dug, though, where the mother let them dig. It was a permitted dig to the Smart family, who got a bunch of people to come dig, which was basically a bunch of FBI agents on the weekend. But anyway, they did. They dug where they were allowed to dig. They didn't find anything. And then there was some ground-penetrating radar done, and there was also this group of three men, and they're scientists, and they have a new way of testing soils to see if there has been remains. I did talk to Clint Cole about this about 5-6 months ago, and I had talked to one of the scientists, because there's also people, there's also allegations there may be a body at Paul's home in San Pedro. And Cal Coast News did an investigation. We talked to the neighbors over in San Pedro. They called us one day. They said Paul was burying something. He buried something in the backyard. The multiple neighbors saw him about 3 days later. It's not just burying something. He literally went in the backyard and mowed a yard that he'd done nothing in years. Mowed all the grass down. It was up to shoulder level. He had never used a backyard. Long, thin backyard. Mowed the whole thing down. Then he dug a hole in the back corner. So he's in the back right corner of the yard. He digs a deep hole. It's about 4 or 5 feet deep. He digs this hole, and then he puts a drain going into the hole and then out through the other side. And then he puts rebar. He does some rebar. He puts some dirt and puts rebar, not rebar yet. He then comes home one night about midnight, and the next door neighbor is getting home from driving a limo. He pulls up and sees him picking up a blanket, a black blanket, and he goes, "Do you need help carrying that in?" "No, my dog died." The guy had lived next to him for years. He never had a dog. Okay, never a dog. "My dog died. I'm going to bury the dog. I don't need help carrying it through." So the guy's on the top floor of the next door house, and it sees in the front and the side. Paul walked through the house into the backyard, put it in the hole, and put a piece of plywood over. Then he went and got a something where you get cement mixer, a little cement mixer you can rent. He put it in the backyard. He rebarred it. He put cement in. And then, oddly enough, about 2 months later, he put the first layer of bricks. Now, this is a weird little thing in the backyard, all the way in the back corner. He puts one layer of bricks. And then he starts a second layer of bricks. They raided his house. The second layer was never finished. And there was a pipe going through where the dog was, a pipe going down with a funnel so he could pour things in there through the hole, and it goes out. It's a very sloped yard going downward. The pole sticks out in county. It's LA County property, open space behind the house. They had gotten permission. These guys had gotten permission from Susan Flores' neighbor to test the soil near her house, and they believe at some time there was a body there. They were also applying to LA County because of Cal Coast News reporting and attempting to do the same thing outside the home in LA County. I had been told months ago that there was an attempt. They did believe there was going to be more digging going on. I don't even know if they ever got the permit from LA County. I did talk to one of the scientists multiple times about this, and they believe they're also, I've talked to law enforcement, they believe there's probably more than one victim. Can you imagine if you're drugging girls? So you've got one girl that's very tiny, and you give her the same drugs you give someone like Kristen Smart. Wasn't she 6'1 or something?
Yeah.
And a big girl. And then she wakes up and fights you, is what some people think might have happened. But do you think only one person could have overdosed or died? How many drinks did these women have before they were roofied? And remember, they found two types of roofies in his home when they raided it in San Pedro. They found driver's licenses of girls in the backyard. Nobody ever, ever looked under that slab. And again, they do believe there might be evidence of where one body or more bodies are. I don't know what's going on now. I know that the sheriff is still there today. They may be there for multiple days. We're going to know more as this goes through. And I think it's going to be very interesting as they look for this body. But this has been, this was expected. This wasn't, I was told 6 months ago this was expected by one of the scientists. Were you aware this was going on?
Not at that level. No, not at that level at all. I know that the Sheriff's Department has been actively pursuing this because the idea of locating Kristen once and for all for the family and potentially other victims, we know that that's been going on. I had no idea it was to this depth that you have uncovered. Now, listening to the story that says they went into a backyard and got a cage for, you know, pouring concrete. I mean, for something that deep, that's something you do on about a four-story structure. You don't need that type of concrete back there. There's clearly something going on here.
And the other weird thing is he never did any. The only thing he did with the yard after that, mm-hmm. about a week after he put the concrete in, he went and got two pit bulls.
What?
He put pit bulls in the backyard.
So nobody can go back there.
After he laid that concrete. Do you realize how weird? And then he never used that. He never used that. It was in a back of a filthy yard. I have pictures a year, you know, around the time that they did the raid,
right,
and that they arrested him. I mean, it's just a filthy backyard, and they wanted those dogs to stay in that backyard.
Oh yeah, so definitely nobody can get back there. I mean, that's what that is. I mean, you see it all. You see that type of movement when it comes to people who have grow homes, drug homes. You know, they're growing marijuana and whatnot. You put litter and you put everything around your yard so nobody could get to it, so nobody could look over, jump the fence when you're not there or on vacation or something, because nobody wants you around that house. So you have a grow house in your attic and you just clutter everything up. Yeah, happens all the time.
Josh was up there doing some interviewing and talking to some of the neighbors,
right.
And he saw this big pile covered up with on the front porch, and he went over, walked up the walkway, and lifted it up. It was sack after sack of cement.
What?
Yes.
When did he do that?
Oh, this was around the time that they raided his house. This, okay. this was before they arrested him. So there, Josh Friedman works with Cal Coast News. He's been on the show before.
Sure.
But we did some, Josh went down there, gave his phone number to the neighbors. He was out of the country, and the neighbors started calling me. And that's when I had a couple neighbors talking about he buried something. And we believe this is sketchy. He didn't have a dog. Now he has dogs.
And we're not talking just a small little dog, you know, most people would have, or a golden or something. We're talking about two dogs that are fairly known for being aggressive.
And I did inform law enforcement locally.
Right.
And they did send sheriff deputies down to LA County. They did talk to the neighbors. They did talk to the witnesses. Mm-hmm. The problem was they had different dates. They were confused of when it happened. And then they wanted to get a search warrant to dig, and they had to get it in LA County. And LA County kept saying, we have to have a missing girl before, you've got to give us someone in, we can't do a search warrant without a victim.
Right.
And we don't know if there's a victim back there. And I know they've been trying this entire time to get a search warrant of that property. But it's hard. You just can't go get a search warrant easily. So they must have some good information. The other good thing that happened, the scientists.
Right.
They were peer-reviewed and put in a scientific magazine. And they did some work for the FBI. There was some field or area where they believed there had been bodies buried. They found three bodies with their technology.
Good grief.
And then they got peer-reviewed, and they got in a science journal. Mm-hmm. And now it's a lot easier to get. And I don't know if this is, nobody in law enforcement has talked to me about this in quite a while. But I don't know what they actually used. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. No one in law enforcement told me.
Right.
But the scientists did say they got peer reviewed and they were doing much better. So I think things are on the right path.
Oh, they're definitely on the right path. I agree with that. I mean, you take a look at how many years has this been going on since she was first missing? My God, what year was that? It was 1900s?
It was in 1976.
No, it wasn't the 70s.
No, 1996.
Yeah, 1996.
I think it was 1996.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, we're 30
this year.
Years into this.
Yeah.
And we're still working on this. And, you know, the sketchy part, well, many sketchy parts of this story, obviously. But the part that has been most relieving in all this is knowing that the Sheriff's Department has never let this go, much less many other, you know, unsolved crimes or, you know, things that they're trying to get solved. They've never let this
go. Well, they it was on the back burner. It was actually Ian Parkinson, when he took over as sheriff, he said right off the bat when he was running, I'm going to make this a priority.
Yeah.
And he made it a priority. And then, you know, people have things they're very good at.
Sure.
They just do. They have something that they're meant to do.
Right.
And Clint Cole got made the cold case detective.
Yeah.
And the amount of cases he has solved, it's like it's his calling. I think he'd even been a school resource officer at some point, as a sheriff deputy. But he is massively good at this. He retired for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's back part-time. He's there right now over at the dig right now. And he is very involved.
Clint Cole. I met Clint when I was going through the sheriff's, what do they call it? The Slo County Sheriff's Citizens Academy last
okay.
year. And this goes on for 11 weeks. It's once a week for 11 weeks. And when we got to unsolved cases and we had Clint come in there, listening to him was it was just mind-numbing. I mean, this is a guy who truly loves what he does. It's important to him. This is not a job that he's going to. This really is his calling, and he's amazing at it. I don't know what his gift is to do something like this, but he has shown a tenacity for so many cases like this one. But you hear it in his voice. I mean, candidly, I hear it in your voice when you talk journalism. I mean, it's the same thing. You get people that have a calling in their world, and it's more than just, I need to pay my bills and do this. it is, this is their passion. And they need to do this.
And I do agree that Clint is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that happen when you're working a case. You have people that glom onto cases like this.
Yeah.
And there was, and I'm not going to even put out names, there was a woman that glommed on, and she was calling with tips. And then she tried to say people, there was inappropriate things done to her. It was eventually tossed out as just baloney.
Okay.
And they realized who she was. But at the time, she attacked Clint in a really bad manner.
Really? I didn't know this.
And there was some baloney going on with this. And when you're this deep in, and one of these people can try to make false claims, because there are people that chase missing girl cases. They get like weirdos that are obsessed with it and just glom onto it for years. And there's people that actually care and do a good job.
Right.
But then you have those that are more about, look at me, look at me.
What separates Clint in all this, and I notice with him, is sometimes it's easy for any of us to get tunnel vision over a perspective, over I think this is what's going on with something. And it's an easy one to fall into. He has something in his mind that prevents him from getting tunnel vision, but he continues to look into, you know, what are the facts of all this? Where is it leading? Let's lead it down those facts. And there's something in his ability to innately separate out, you know, the hearsay on something, take a look at the facts, and then understand where are these facts taking us. That's what really makes him different in the way he looks at cold cases.
And he realizes that he's going to have to, he focuses on somebody, and when it blows away and it doesn't work,
right?
He's not, oh, rats, we didn't get this one.
Yeah, he's not.
He just moves on to the next one,
right,
and he realizes, I can't, you know, this is gone, but now we're going to hit the next one.
Right, and that's an easy one to do in life in general, which is we're trying to find facts to support conclusions. He doesn't do that. He says, what are the facts, and where is the most common way that this is going? And he's not afraid to not just ask the hard questions. He's not afraid to go back and say, hey, listen, this has not worked out correctly, even though 99% of the population says this is what happened here. He doesn't see the evidence for that. He sees it differently, and he's not afraid to say, this is not the way we need to go. Let's reevaluate all over again. Let's start from the beginning. Let's step this through one by one.
Yes. I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know what caused them to be able to get a search warrant to go over there. Because it's not that easy.
Well, no, especially in LA County. I mean, they're pretty strict with things down
but
there.
But this one is here. How did they get a search warrant Susan's when it had already been, they had already dug there before. They had done other things. Something has happened where they could get a search warrant, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and knowing how hard, like you said, how hard it is to get a search warrant, it really says there's something potentially going on here, obviously.
And they're not just digging somewhere. They're in the house. They're in the garage.
Right.
They took portalettes. They're staying a while.
They took, oh, I'm sorry, portable toilets. I was... Yes. Honey buckets. Yes. Thank you. There you go. Yeah.
You know, that says we're going to be here for when they take
those
things.
Yeah, there's OSHA requirements when it comes to those things. If you're going to be there for X amount of hours, those have to be delivered in at $25 a day or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yes. So there's something going on here if they have those there.
Yes.
And they're there now, and they're going to be likely there more days. I think it's going to be very interesting. I saw her house, though, and it reminded me of some things that I read in reports about Paul's house.
Okay.
Very hoarderly, very packed with weird stuff. Just like her house looked kind of, it looked a little bit, the garage and the way it was there, it looked very, lots of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy. You know, there are those people that are minimalists. They throw things out. They don't want any junk.
Yeah.
They don't want things. And you can go through their house in a day easy.
Oh, yes.
And then you have those people that one room could take 2 days. You know?
And this is really interesting. And something I have never understood about this whole Kristen Smart case is that once the convictions were put in and we know what happened, why can't the people who are convicted have that shred of decency to say, okay, here's what happened, here's where everything is at? Just have that shred of decency in your life. That's all you need to do. Just do that one thing.
I think in the beginning, they all thought he was going to get out on appeal.
Oh, yeah.
And they I mean, the appellate court just smashed that appeal. They were saying, oh, he's got such a good appeal. They didn't see it that way at all.
Yeah.
The other thing is, what I have, you know, when I read about some old cases, sometimes one of these guys waits a few years and then wants some attention or wants a better life in jail and starts talking.
Oh, okay.
There's also the possibility he came out and said, here's some stuff you need to know. But the family's very tightly woven.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, and you know what? You're right. I forgot about that. That a lot of times when these people have information like that, they hold on to it to use later for negotiation for something else.
Yes, they do. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Michael Aaron Woody.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Hello, everybody. This is Danny from Paso Tile and Stone, where elegance is made affordable. You know, actually, people have told me, I miss your commercials. Well, this commercial is a thank you commercial for all the contractors. We have 35 regular contractors that buy from us consistently. Thank you to them. Thank you for the homeowners for all the repeat business. We had a great year last year, an increase of 33%. So thank you for that. How about we celebrate by giving you prefabs for $99? We have tile for 99 cents. We have luxury vinyl for $1.99 to $2.99. We have buy one, get one free slabs. So come on down to our showroom for our tile and slabs, 3850 Ramada. And for luxury vinyl and cabinets, please come to 447 North Main Street, Templeton. Blessings to you and your family. Thank you.
Central Coast Tractor Work, with decades of construction and earthwork experience. They are the go-to outfit for all your home, farm, and ranch excavation needs. They do site prep, excavation, grading, trenching, utility work, demolition. They even do brush removal and lots more. They handle it all, and no job is too small. Call them today and get your project moving. And by the way, they work weekends. Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361.
My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News, as I just said. I have Michael Aaron Woody. He is running for District 2 Supervisor. I have invited his opponent on, Jim D'Antona. He has not even responded to
me. Has he never come on here?
He has never come on. He has never even responded.
Really?
Yes. I saw a picture of him the other day, and it wasn't like the picture I have of him.
Right.
I was surprised. He looked younger than I thought he did.
Oh, okay.
I just thought a few things. I want to really quick hit the governor race just for a minute. They had another. One of the things that I, as a reporter, find extraordinary is all the money spent on projects to do nothing. To do absolutely nothing for consultants and studies, and buddies of friends get studies, and buddies of this guy get studies, and so much money is spent that, and then nothing gets done. But I saw it was in the New York Post,
okay.
And they were talking about the that most of them want to, most of the Democratic candidates for governor
right.
want to continue on with the train. And the train right now was supposed to cost, and I'm going to be way off on my numbers, like $55 billion. And
I thought it was in the 30s, originally.
It might have been, but the last,
right, okay, yeah.
last was $55 billion, but they've already spent like $250 billion. And it's been, not one piece of track has been done. They've done nothing. Lots of studies, lots of money to consultants, lots of government money spent. But nothing has been built. And that's the problem. I see a lot of these things, and then they want union workers. And the amount they spend is way more than a private person can do it for. And it just seems to me that when you can have more spent before you even start the project than actually doing the laying it down, it just seems ridiculous.
What's crazy about the high-speed rail is that the original proposition that went before the voters was to approve the bonds to do this project, and the project was going to be done in 10, 15 years or whatever it was. It's going to connect San Francisco to Los Angeles, and it was predicated on telling the voters that you pass this, there will not be any cost to you because it will all pay for itself with ridership, and that's what the voters approved. And my recollection, it was in the $30 billion range originally when this was approved by the voters. I could be wrong on that. But at any rate, but a great many of us who have been against this from the beginning and even didn't vote for it, kept saying, look, I know California. I know it's going to happen with this. It's not going to work out like this. It never does, whether it's ball stadiums, NFL stadiums, or whatever it is. It never works out this way. So it gets adopted, and I do my proverbial, well, okay, you know, it's the ball's in your court now. Let's see if you guys can deliver. And this project has fallen apart year after year after year, and people keep saying, just keep pumping more money out of it. Now, let me tell you my own personal experience with this high-speed rail as an engineer. I was approached by some people with the high-speed rail system in order to bid on what's called a lift station. And that is nothing more besides, you know, you have water flow going in a pipe, and then every once in a while, because the grade of the pipe, because it's gravity flowed, so your water is on gravity, and then every once in a while, every few miles, you have to have what's put in what's called a lift station. So the water comes to a point, it's lifted through a lift station, and then it goes back down through another set of gravity pipes. So you have to keep lifting the water every few miles. So I was called to say, hey, would you be interested in doing a lift station out here and bidding on this? And I went, yeah, you know, maybe I will. And so I contacted some people that I knew that installed lift stations, started looking at the bid project and everything and what the scope of the work was. Simple project, not a big deal. But I came to find out from friends of mine calling me, who they would all say, stay out of it. You don't want to do it. It's an absolute mess. They don't put their bids together correctly. They don't follow through on their bids right. The people that are running this are incompetent over what they're doing when it comes to putting together the bid packages correctly. So when I got the bid package, I started reading through it like you have to do with any contract. And as I read through it, you take notes. And so I'm taking notes saying, well, wait a minute, what about this? What are you going to do with the pipes here? What about the seals on this? What kind of liner do you want with this? None of this was answered in either. There were so many questions that I had about this project at the end of it. I finally contacted the high-speed rail people and I said, hey, listen, guys, I'm really busy on this one. I really don't have time to bid this thing, but thanks for, sending it my way. But I just remember looking at the bid and saying, this is really incomplete. They don't know what to put out to bid correctly. I know that when I do bids for other projects, you have to have, when you're going to put a bid out there, you have to really know what the project is and give it to the person who's been bidding on it. It could be, the types of seals, the type of regulations involved. You kind of have to have your A game involved with this. But there were just basics in there that just didn't make any sense. It's like the people that were putting the bids together really did not know how to put a bid together correctly for a project like this.
And that's part of the problem. But to spend, over $200 billion on something and there's no track light.
Oh, and then, if you get a chance, go drive out there in the Central Valley through Fresno County and south of Fresno County. It looks terrible out there, what they've done. They've destroyed the entire landscape.
We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with more of Michael Aaron Woody.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.